And I am glad to be here. Love your pastor and his family. And we've talked a number of times about taking his son to school. That's a hard thing for mom and dad to do. Some of you have done that. And so we'll pray for them and pray for their trip back and ask the Lord to bless them in all that they're doing. If you wouldn't mind, take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. For those who don't know me, I pastored in Virginia for 37 years and then moved to Charlotte, North Carolina when we retired from the pastorate, and we now attend our son's church. He started the church there in the Charlotte area 15 years ago, and it is very difficult to go from being a Virginia Cavalier to a Tar Heel State, and I'm struggling with it, I'm just telling you. But I'm getting there. So love North Carolina and love the opportunity to serve the Lord. Psalm 31, let's look at verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity. Thank you for this church and the testimony it carries. Thank you for Pastor and Mrs. Peace and the boys. Pray that you'd bless them and keep them safe now as they travel. And Lord, we pray now in his absence that you would bless this sermon, this preaching. It is your word. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would take your word and apply it to our hearts. Speak to us, teach us. Where we need to be convicted, convict us. And I pray you'd encourage. We ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the realities of our world and our lives is that not everything goes easy. Not everything is just how we would want it to be. In truth, our life, like every other life, faces trouble, difficulties. We face hard, trying, stressful times. I want you to notice with me in verse 9, David speaking. I didn't think kings were supposed to have any troubles. But he says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. You ever looked up to God and said that? Hey, God, I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. David, the sweet singer of Israel, the man after God's own heart, says, God, here's the truth, I'm in trouble. And I wake up at night and I'm concerned and I'm feeling stressed and sometimes I weep. And I would just say to all of us that every life has those moments of real stress, of real trouble, of real difficulty. I years ago read a psychological test, and I'm not big on psychological tests, but I found this one interesting. It assigned points to the high moments of stress in our lives. And the highest amount of stress you could experience was 100 points. And some of the things that came with that was like the death of a spouse. And I can understand that. You've lived your life with someone that you love, and you've become one flesh in the Lord, and now God chooses to take that one home. That's a stressful moment. Some of the other high ones were divorce. And for anyone who's experienced the pain of that, I sympathize with them, and I try to encourage them that they can go on, that God can continue to use them. A change in career. I talked to a Coast Guard man who made me jealous. He lived in Alaska, but he also lived 5-10 other places because the military has a way of moving you around, and that can be a stressful time. It was interesting to me, but in that stress test, the Christmas season adds 12 points to your stressed out condition. And if you travel it at Christmas, it adds 25 points to your stress level. Yeah, let's just cancel Christmas. Amen. It just seems to me that everything and every life has some difficulties, some tough times. I remember someone came into my office one time when I was pastoring, and they really had been going through some difficult things, and they just looked across the table at me, and they just said, "Lord, preacher, it just seems like everything is so hard. Why does it have to be so hard?" Well, because we live in a sin-cursed world, and because we're human beings, and because God has allowed us to be here, every life faces those issues. I don't think any life has faced any more than David faced. When he was a young boy, he had a bear attack, and he had to kill the bear with his bare hands. You talk about Daniel Boone, how about David? He had a lion attack, and he had to kill that lion with his bare hands. He had to face a giant named Goliath with nothing but a slingshot and five stones, and yet he brought Goliath down. I would suggest to you that's a stressful day and a day of trouble. Someone was determined to kill him all of his young adult life, and he ran from cave to cave and country to country trying to escape Saul. After he was made king, he had a kingdom to manage. And boy, there's no trouble in leading people, is there? Every day there was an issue, there was a problem, there was something that could keep him awake. He had wars and fighting all of his life. He had a very difficult family situation, and can I add this? Of his own making. Sometimes we don't like to admit it to ourselves, but sometimes our trouble, we did it. We caused it. And yet, in all of these things, David had an understanding that I think you and I need to have. And it's found in verse 15. My times, the good ones, the difficult ones, the days filled with trouble, the days filled with joy, my times, notice this, are in God's hands. Folks, I don't think there's any greater realization that you and I can make than to understand that our lives are in God's hands. I want you to think about that with me this morning. Think about, first of all, my times. David's life and our lives are marked by changes. They're marked by instability. The word that David uses for times, and we'll look into this in just a moment, but the word that he uses, if you study that word, has an understanding of seasons, of changing seasons. Our lives consist of seasons. I was born and was an infant. I have no memory of being an infant other than what my mother and dad tell me, because my life was completely in their hands. There was nothing I could do for myself. Had it not been for the natural love of my mom and dad, I wouldn't have survived my infancy. But that infancy was a season in my life. And then I became a toddler, and I was a wonderful toddler. I was the perfect child. That's not there. It didn't match up with what they said. But that season of being a toddler changed, and I became a junior. And that season changed, and I became a teenager. And that season changed. And I became a husband and a dad. And that season changed. I became a middle-aged man. And that season changed. And I became an old man. And I'm almost back to infancy. I'm just saying the reality of our lives is all moves. Nothing lasts. Nothing stays. It just keeps moving. One day David was sitting on a hillside tending his sheep and writing his psalms and loving life, singing to himself. The next moment he's called from the fields to his house, and there he meets the prophet Samuel, and he is anointed the king of Israel. You talk about a change of season. One moment he's a hero with his foot on Goliath's chest. The next season he's dodging a spear being thrown at him by Saul. One day he's a king, and just as quickly he's an outcast when his son runs him out of the city. Hey, we simply do not know what the next day holds. Oh, I can make some predictions. I predict I will lose some more hair. I predict I will hurt somewhere else tomorrow. My good friend Dr. Don Siss, this is good practical advice. He says, after 70, if you wake up and something doesn't hurt, you didn't really wake up. I predict that some of you will get married. I predict that some of you will have babies. I predict that some will graduate from high school and some will get promoted and some will move. We have some sense of what tomorrow can bring, but in truth, none of us knows what tomorrow really holds. And I want to tell you, to know that my times are in God's hands is an incredible source of strength and blessing. Some think that because we're Christians and we're people of faith, that that's an insurance policy against anything difficult, against any trouble in our lives. But nothing could be further from the truth. Job said, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And in truth, and I'm not trying to be discouraging, I'll get around to encouraging in just a moment. In truth, you and I are going to experience problems. We're going to have difficulty. We're going to be stressed out. We're going to have issues. We're going to have trials. It is a part of life that God allows. My times are going to be hard. Consider with me for a moment God's hands. David's times may have been unstable and changing, but David's God was stable and unchanging. I want you to notice words in this psalm, and I don't have time to develop all of them, but look at verse 3. For thou art my rock. Boy, you want to talk about the contrast to changing? A rock, the rock that stands. Notice, not only my rock, but you are my fortress. And in this world of incredible change and up and down and trouble, David says, I do have a rock. I do have a fortress. There is a house of defense in my life. One of the attributes of God that ought to be so meaningful to us is that He is immutable. It's a theological term that just simply means God never changes. Everything in our world changes. Everything in our life changes. Nothing stays the same. But my life is held in the hand that never changes. God is immutable. But listen, there are two other words we need to add to that. Not only is God unchanging, immutable, but learn with me today two words. God is sovereign. And God is personal. God is sovereign and God is personal. The God who holds my times in His hands is a sovereign God. The word I said a moment ago that God chose for times in verse 15 is an important word to understand. Listen as I read to you, and you might jot this down and look at it later, but Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, here's what Daniel says. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. It is God who changes the times. It is God who sets up kings and takes down kings in the midst of those times. I don't know about you, but I have lived in this world for a long time, and it is crazier than it has ever been. This is a wild place. And sometimes I want to look at it from the perspective of a man who has viewed a long and many decades and say, what in the world is going on here? Has God turned loose of us? Has God forsaken us? And the answer is no. God is sovereign. God knows exactly what time it is. God knows who is king, and God knows who will be king next, and God knows at the end of it, He is King of Kings. Things are not out of control. Things are not all lost. God is sovereign, and God knows exactly what is going on and exactly what He is doing. Listen to another verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Solomon, wisest man the world has ever had, says this, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." What's that mean? It means God has a plan for all of history. He is not sitting on the ramparts of heaven, biting his nails, wondering who's going to get elected in 2020. He is not up there wondering, is it going to go into recession? He's not up there wondering, what's going to happen in Hong Kong? What's going to happen in China? He knows! And it is moving at His hand. He has a purpose and a plan in all of it. And my little life, which I am so concerned about and struggle with at times, they are in His hand. Just as God has a plan and a purpose for this world, He has a plan and a purpose for my life. He knows exactly where I am. He knows exactly what I need. He knows exactly what my burdens are. Listen, He knows everything about my health and your health. He knows everything about my marriage and your marriage. He knows where you are in your finances. He knows the difficulty you face at work, that boss. He knows what you're fearful of. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your burdens. And all of them are held in His hand. They're not out of control. They're not going somewhere where there's no redemption. You're not forgotten. You're not forsaken. Your life is in God's hands. Now, all of that sounds very sovereign and theological. But can I remind you as well that God is not only sovereign, He is personal. I want you to notice again in verse 14, "But I trusted in Thee, O Lord, I said, Thou art my God." I wish I could transport us for just a few moments out of our world and out of our lives into David's world and his life. I think I have faced some issues and problems, but I don't think I ever faced the magnitude of things that perhaps David faced as Egypt approaches on the southern borders and as the Philistines are consuming the eastern borders. I don't think I've ever faced the rebellion of sons like he faced. I don't think I've ever faced the magnitude of problems. And I can see this boy, this man who for years was out on those hillsides and he faced lions and bears, but he'd have traded all the problems as king just to go back to lions and bears. He feels like the weight is on his shoulder, the world is on his shoulders, and he doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He doesn't know, he never feels smart enough, he never feels able enough, he never really feels adequate, but in those night watches, he just sits by himself and he says, "Oh, I am so glad that Thou art my And when all the problems are taken away and all the pomp and circumstances taken away, David just rejoices in this fact. I know God. And God knows me. For me, February of 1975, I've probably told, I tell it everywhere I go 10 times, but I was at a church. My mother had sent me to pick something up. I wasn't a Christian, wasn't born, wasn't raised in a Christian home. Mother and dad had gotten saved in their late 60s, were working on us. And went to this church, and the custodian of the church had been informed by my mom I was coming. He cornered me, and he told me for 45 minutes that I was a sinner on my way to hell, and that only through Jesus could I be saved. And that day, later that day, I took a Bible, and my mother had underlined Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 with a red ink pen, and I fell before the Lord, my sofa as my altar, and I called out, and Jesus saved my soul. And I want to tell you, I have been a lot of places and seen a lot of things, and I've met presidents, and I've met generals, and I've done this, and I've done that. And you know what? When truly an issue in life bears down on you, I don't ever remember sitting in the dark in my room saying, oh man, I'm glad I met the president. Oh man, I'm glad I got to go to that place. I'm glad I got that gift. I'm glad I did. But there have been many times where it's just been, oh God, I am so glad I know you. Because it is only knowing you that gives me hope about tomorrow. And my question to you right now is this: do you know the Lord personally? I'm not asking you, do you know the concept of God? I'm not asking you, was your grandpa a Baptist preacher? I'm not asking you, are you a member of this church? I'm asking you, where were you? When was it? What happened to you when the Holy Spirit got a hold of your heart and said, you are a sinner separated from God? And you said, oh God, will you save me? Because it is only in that relationship that tomorrow has hope. So David, in this difficult place, casts his care upon the Lord because he knows the Lord cares for him. He knows the Lord knows every hair that's on his head and every burden that's in his heart and every weakness that he has and every mistake that he's made. And yet in all of that, God still loves him personally. My times, as messed up as I make them, as difficult as they are, rest in the hand of an almighty God who can change, who can lead, who can guide, and who loves me personally. You say, well, preacher, what's my responsibility? Do I have anything in this? God's sovereign, God's unchanging. What do I have to do? Notice in verse 14 what David's response was. I trusted in thee. God is immutable. God is sovereign. God is personal. But I have the responsibility of trusting him. Personal trust in the sovereign, personal God gives us stability when everything else around us is in upheaval. When I trust God in a stressful situation, he doesn't always or even normally remove the source of stress. He just gives me stability in the midst of the crisis. He becomes my rock. He becomes my fortress. Hey, sometimes in my life when I'm facing a problem, God instantly removes it when I pray. And just as when that storm arose on the sea and they thought, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He rises, he speaks over good. This is how I like it. I like it. Immediate answer to prayer. But go ask Paul if that's how God always works. Because Paul was in Euryclidon. And Paul prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted, and the storm continued for days and weeks and weeks and months. And yet in the midst of that, Paul had peace, because even though the wind blew and the waves were raging, God had spoken to him and he knew what God was going to do. I'm just saying that a decision to trust is a decision to rest in the truth that my times are in God's hands and God is leading me to a good place, a right place, a place of peace. We must run to the rock, but we must learn to trust. Well, in conclusion, now don't get excited because it's a long conclusion. Let me share two thoughts with you. Let me make two observations about my times in God's hands. Number one, the time to prepare for trouble is before it hits. Time to prepare my heart for trouble is before it hits. Psalm 31, I've not spoken about what's happening in David's life. You know what's happening in David's life when he writes Psalm 31? Oh, Pastor, somebody must have said something mean to him and he's brokenhearted. No, no. Oh, somebody, one of his generals must have fought a battle. No, no. His own son has raised an army, has seized the gates of Jerusalem, and is now pursuing him and his family into the wilderness to kill him. He had no warning. In the middle of the night, he heard the cries as they seized the gates, and he and his wives and children escaped out the back and down over the brook Kidron, and now he is in the Judean wilderness. Oh no, this is the greatest trouble of his life. His son, his children, his wives, his own life. He is not prepared. Oh no, this is not an easy time. This is one of the hardest times that he's ever faced. But he had a habit in his life. I won't take you there for the sake of time, but in Psalm 63 and verse 1, David says this, "Early will I seek thee." And he had set a pattern in his life of early seeking the Lord. It means a lot of things. It means early in his life he sought the Lord. You parents, one of the greatest gifts you can ever give your children is the habit of reading the Word of God and speaking to the Lord in prayer and trusting the Lord. David, as that young man out there shepherding those sheep, had moments and hours and days on end where he could just be with the Lord and speak to the Lord. And many would have counted it a waste of time. Oh, David, he's out in the fields. The other brothers are doing the important stuff in town. And yet, in this part of his life, it was the most important thing that had ever happened to him because he developed a walk with the Lord. Now when he wakes up in a cave and his whole life is in shambles, his children, his wives are in danger, and he doesn't know what to do, he does what he's always done. Early will I seek thee. He knew God was a rock because he had walked with God. He knew God was a fortress. He knew God was his help. He knew God was his strength. And he does not wake up in that cave with despair. He wakes up in that cave with hope. And what he does is what he's always done and what he will continue to do. I will seek God this morning because I'm not smart enough to face one day without him. I'm not capable of solving this problem without him. I will start with the Lord. But here's number two. Make this understanding. God will never allow us to go through more trouble than we're able to bear. Though David faced an incredible trial with God's strength, he was going to be able to endure. One thing we need to learn is that God is not always into easy solutions. I made reference to it a moment ago. When I pray, I want instant answer. I'm the kind of guy, if I were the widow with the barrel of meal and God just makes enough every day, puts enough in there so that it's not empty, no, 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 no. God, you fill it up, keep it full, then I'll be okay. I want it easy, I want it instant. But you know what? God's not always into those easy solutions. We'll talk about it some more tonight. Israel comes up out of Egypt and he brings them right to the Red Sea. I want to tell you, that's not an easy solution. Joseph didn't find any solutions, easy solutions in Egypt. His brothers throw him into the pit. He gets out of the pit and he says, okay, this is better. I'm out of the pit. But he finds himself in shackles being led down by the Midianites to be sold into slavery. Okay, well, it's not so bad. I got sold to Potiphar's house and at least I'm working in the house. And then he's lied about and he's back in prison. And it goes on and on and on. And yet all the time, in all the trouble, in all the moments, God held him right here and was moving with purpose, with purpose, with purpose. Daniel, faithful Daniel, praying and ends up in the lion's den. I would have said, God, it's okay. Let him take me right up to the lion's den, but then deliver me. God allowed him to go in, but all the time, his life in God's hands. I don't know what you're facing, but if you're a child of God, your life is in God's hands. He knows where you are. He knows what hurts. He knows what you need. He knows the burden, the hurt. He knows it. And your life is there in his hand. And God has the answer. When my children were little, I used to love to take them to the water, to the ocean. And I would take them there, and really it was a choice. It was something I was trying to show them, teach them. And when they were very small, I would begin to walk into the ocean as I was holding them. And they thought it was great when the water, when the waves were hitting my feet and not touching them. They thought, well, that's awesome. This is very good. I'm with Dad. But I would take another step and another step and another step to where the water was hitting my knees, you know, and you know how that is. And every once in a while, it would splash up on them. And I began to notice that when the water began to splash up on them, it was a little less cool. And then I would take them to where maybe their feet were in the water, maybe up to their knees were in the water. And I noticed something really awesome there. They hugged my neck. And then I continued. And I took them to where their head was almost under the water. You say, where was your wife at this time? On the shore, screaming at me, not one more step. Now listen to me very carefully and I'm done. A strange phenomenon began to take place when I had them almost to where the water was here. They pushed away from me because they thought they could save themselves. Their reaction was, I've got to get out of here. I've got to get away. I've got to. You know, sometimes that's what we do with God. I want you to see your life as in the arms of God. And God knows where you are. And he knows what the waves are doing. And sometimes when it's just a little trouble, we're going to be careful to trust. But if we're not careful, sometimes our reaction can be, I'll take over. I'm going to save myself. Psalm 61 and verse 1 says this, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, I'm going to play the role of God here. My children were never in danger. I knew exactly what I was going to do. And then I was going to talk to them about that experience later when they would understand. They weren't in danger when the water was at my feet. They weren't in danger when the water was at my waist. They weren't in danger when the water hit them. They weren't in danger when the water came all the way up here because they were in the arms of their Father. And I had a purpose and a plan in what I was doing. This is it. God is stronger than you. God is smarter than all of us. And God knows exactly where he's taking this world we live in. God knows exactly where he's taking you. And his thoughts and his plans for you are good. Trust him. He is sovereign. He will deliver you where he wants you to be delivered. And he is personal with you. He knows you and loves you. And learn to trust that your life, right there in God's hands, and he knows, and he cares, and he's able. Would you pray with me? Father, we're grateful for your love for our lives. And Lord, sometimes it's hard for us to comprehend just how big you are. Why you would even care about something so small as our life. And yet you do. And every life is going to face hard things. Going to be real trouble. Sometimes of our own making. And yet in all of that, you love us. And you have a plan for us. And you know where you're taking us. And you know what we're experiencing. You know where we hurt. You know what makes us cry. You know the fear that we have. You know the need that we have. And we can cry out to you. God, I pray just now that in the heart of every believer in this room, you would give them an encouragement that their life is in your hands. And whatever they're facing that is difficult right now, they can endure. There is a purpose in it. You will strengthen them. You will be their rock. They will not be overwhelmed if they hold on to you. And I pray you'd help them. There may be some in here, Lord, who have never made you their Savior. They know about you, but they can't say, he is my God. And I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would touch them and help them to see their need. If they would present themselves at this altar today, somebody could take a Bible and show them how they could be saved. There may be others who are facing really difficult things. They're scared. They're hurt. And they wonder if anybody cares. God, remind them their life is in your hands and they can trust you. Before I conclude my prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed, I wonder if there'd be one or two that would say, you know, Brother Edwards, others may know, but maybe no one knows. But right now, I am facing one of the most difficult things I've ever faced. I'm anxious about it. I have fear. There's a hurt. There's a worry. And sometimes I just wonder, does anybody know? Does God know? Does God care? And this message has reminded me that God absolutely knows. And by an uplifted hand, I'm just asking you, would you pray with me that I can rest, that my times are in God's hands, and I will trust him in this rather than going my own way. Would you slip your hand up where I can pray for you? God bless you. Many, many hands. Hey, you know why there's many hands? Because it's common among us. Lead us to the rock that is higher than I. Now, Father, work in our hearts. Help us to get over our embarrassment and our pride. And if we need to spend some time with you just expressing our trust, pouring out our heart, casting our care upon you because we know you care for us, then thank you for these moments to do that. And if there's a need to come to the altar, I pray that people would not be concerned about what others think, but they would come and deal with you. If someone here is unsaved, they'd come. And let us share with them how they can be saved. Work in our hearts. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, our heads bowed. Our eyes are closed. The piano's going to play softly. If God's spoken, why don't you take a step out to this altar? Say, Lord, I heard you. You spoke to me today. And I'm asking you, would you help me? Would you encourage my heart? I'm near despair. I'm discouraged. But I know that my times are in your hands. And I'm, as an act of trust, I'm asking you, would you work in my life? Would you come?